It is good to be with you tonight, and I would bring to you the greetings of the friends at Totten and assure you that we often remember the work here at Hyde Street in our prayers. We're going to turn tonight in the Gospel of John in chapter 17. John chapter 17. And my text for this evening is found in verses 17 and 19. Verses 17 and 19 of John 17. John 17 is the great prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ as he was in prayer to his Father in heaven just before going to Calvary's cross. And Jesus says this, verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And verse 19, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." Surely one of the marks of a declining society, a society that is under God's judgment, is that truth is no longer upheld. In the history of the world, there have been many great empires that have risen and then fallen. And one of the marks of a decaying society is that truth is fallen. That is what the Lord said, speaking through the prophet Isaiah. "In transgression and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the streets." And we are witnessing that in our own day and generation. Truth has fallen in the streets. And when truth breaks down, then trust goes. And when truth is absent, there cannot be true justice. And so many today have this question upon their lips: who can you trust? We just don't know who you can trust. And others today who have imbibed the thinking and the philosophies of our age would even deny that there is such a thing as absolute truth. But in the scriptures, in the Bible has much to say about truth. John records many words of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning truth. The testimony of Jesus himself was this over in chapter 18 and the latter part of verse 37. The Lord Jesus was before Pilate. Pilate was questioning him. And Jesus says, "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And there the Saviour gives another reason for his coming into this world of sin. Yes, he came to save his people from their sins, but he came to bear witness to the truth. And God is a God of truth. Paul, writing to Titus, in chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God is a God of truth. It is impossible for God to lie. So in the Bible, we have this body of revealed truth from the Lord himself. And we see this truth, that God is truth, in the doctrine of the Trinity. Jesus said that when he would depart to his Father, he would send the Holy Spirit. And he spoke of the Holy Spirit as being the Spirit of truth. Back in chapter 16 and at verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, hath come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we see within the triune Godhead, God is the God of truth. And when our Saviour stood before the Lord Jesus Christ, Pilate was closer to Jesus than I am to you this evening. And having heard the testimony of Jesus, I came into the world to witness to the truth. Pilate looked into the eyes of Christ and said, what is truth? And we live in a generation that questions whether there is truth. But truth can be known because the God of truth has revealed himself, God who is truth. And we come now to this prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that the word of God is truth. As you sent me, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Referring to the scriptures. Of course, for the Lord Jesus, it was the Old Testament scriptures. But now we have the New Testament. We have the whole revelation of God written in the Bible. Our Queen has just commemorated 70 years on the throne. And at her coronation service, when she was crowned Queen of England, she was presented with a Bible, and these words were said, that here was the most valuable thing this world has to offer. The Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, the most valuable thing this world has to offer. And Jesus' prayer for his people, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And I want to look at these verses with you tonight, as the Lord helps, under three headings. Firstly, we must understand this word sanctify, sanctification. Secondly, we'll consider the work of sanctification. And thirdly, the battle of sanctification. Firstly, then, sanctification. There are certain biblical words that it is essential for us to understand, and it is essential for us to teach. There are certain words in the Bible that they can't be altered, that they can't be watered down, they can't be put any other way than the way they have been written. And there are two great truths contained in the scripture. One is the believer's justification, and the other is the believer's sanctification. And there is a difference between these two things. Justification is a legal declaration. It is something that God declares once and for all time. When a sinner comes in repentance and lays hold savingly by faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God declares that sinner to be justified in his sight. It is a legal declaration. A guilty sinner is declared by God, who is holy and righteous. A guilty sinner is declared to be not guilty in his sight. And that raises a question. How can that possibly be? How can a God of holiness, how can a God of justice and righteousness declare the guilty to be not guilty? And the answer is that the debt, the penalty, has been already paid. And God sent his Son into this world. And the eternal Son of God, he became a man. And he took the penalty for his people's sin. And he paid that penalty upon the cross at Calvary. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. And so when a young person, when a man or a woman comes in repentance and lays hold of Christ by faith, God no longer sees that sinner, but he sees the obedience of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he justifies that sinner. He declares legally that sinner is no longer guilty. And even that faith which savingly unites a believer to Jesus is God's gift. And so Paul writes in Romans 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And as we have just read from Romans 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." So justification is that once and for all time declaration of God declaring a sinner to be not guilty because that sin was laid upon the Saviour. But we're thinking tonight of the words of the Lord Jesus. Sanctify them by your truth. And sanctification is an ongoing, it is a progressive work. And it will never be complete until that believer is in the glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. John writes in his first letter, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And this word sanctify, sanctification, it is similar, it is like the word holy. It comes from the same root, and it means to be separate. Holiness is separation from sin, to live in the way of righteousness. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ, just before he went to Calvary's cross, this was his great prayer for his people. sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That they also may be sanctified by the truth. What is your desire tonight? What is the longing of your heart? What would you desire above everything else? The hymn writer Charles Wesley put it like this: "Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free." Is that what we desire tonight? Is that your desire tonight? To have a heart from sin set free. And so tonight, if by the grace of God you are in Christ, then your standing, your status before a holy God is that you are justified through faith in Christ in his sight. But our present condition is that we need this great work of sanctification in our hearts and lives. So secondly, let us think about the work of sanctification. And immediately we see from the scriptures the necessity of the Holy Spirit to enable us to put to death, or as the Bible puts it, to mortify the deeds of the body. Romans 8 and verse 13, which we read just a little while ago. Romans 8, 13. "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, do put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And Paul writing to the Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." But we should have an aim. We should have a goal in our lives. And we must ask ourselves, what is our aim? What is our goal in life? And if we are a saved person tonight, if by the grace of God we have been saved from the power and the penalty of sin, then we have been saved for this reason. We have been saved to be a holy people. Peter, quoting from Deuteronomy, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord God." And so every child of God, our great aim, our great desire, our great hope should be firstly conformity to the character of God the Father. Secondly, conformity to the image of Christ. And thirdly, conformity to the mind of the Holy Spirit of God. But we look at our lives and we search our hearts, and we have to acknowledge that it is still work in progress. We've been justified by the grace of God, but this great work of sanctification is work in progress. It's an ongoing work. But let us look at verse 19 of John 17. And Jesus there says this: "And for their sakes I sanctify myself." What did the Lord mean by that? Well, that word sanctify is exactly the same word as he used in verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. But we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless. He had no sin to put to death in his life. He was born of the Virgin. He was without sin, holy, pure, and harmless. So what does he mean when he prays, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself"? Well, he means this. The word sanctify means to be set apart. And God has set apart his people to be a holy people. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he set himself apart. He separated himself to do the great work that his Father had sent him to do. The work to atone for the sins of his people. And as we were thinking of the atonement this morning, that word means to cover. And he shed his blood that we might be washed from our sins, that our sins might be covered. And when Jesus prays and he says, "For their sakes I sanctify myself," he set himself apart. He separated himself unto that great work of atoning for the sins of his people. That substitutionary death, whereby through his death propitiation was made, and the wrath of a holy God fell upon the righteous Saviour, and the believer is delivered, is spared from the wrath of God. The Lord Jesus Christ set himself apart in obedience to his Father's will. He set himself apart for the cross. We read in the Gospels how he steadfastly looked to Jerusalem. He set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. He set himself apart to give his life for our sakes. That is love beyond compare. "And for their sakes, I sanctify myself." But thirdly, we need to see that there is the battle of sanctification. The Lord Jesus Christ endured the cross. He endured hell. He took the penalty of our sins to save us from our sins, to call a people to holiness. That was his great prayer. "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And the work of sanctification, we are not passive in that, but we are active, we are engaged in it. It is a battle. Sanctification is the work of God, the work of God in the heart of a believer. But we must put to death the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh, through the Holy Spirit, as we read in Romans 8 and verse 13. "But if ye through the Spirit do mortify," do put to death, "the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And in Romans 6 and verse 12, we read these words: "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members to instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." And so we are engaged in a battle. We are engaged in conflict. And the arena of that conflict is our own bodies. And we are to be enabled through the Holy Spirit of God. And the agency which the Spirit of God uses is the Scriptures, is the Bible. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And we know how great this conflict is. Now, sometimes it is said, and it is said wrongly, that our war is against the old man. The new man is warring against the old man. But that cannot be, because the Scriptures clearly declare that the old man has been crucified with Christ. And the Christian is a new creation. He's a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer in Adam, but in Christ. But the arena of the battle, the arena of the conflict, is our mortal bodies, the flesh. And daily we battle with indwelling sin, which we are to put to death each day. We owe nothing to the flesh. We no longer live to obey the lusts of the flesh, the demands of the flesh. Listen to how the 20th century theologian John Murray puts it. John Murray says this: the believer is a new man, a new creation, but he is a new man not yet made perfect. Sin dwells in him still, and he still commits sin. He is necessarily the subject of progressive sanctification. And then John Owen, one of the Puritans, he wrote these words: be killing sin, or it will kill you. And he goes on to say, this is not justification by works, but desiring Christ likeness. There are no holidays in the spiritual realm. Cease not a day to be killing sin. And so it is. There are no rest days. There are no holidays. But from the day that we came to Christ to the day that he calls us into his presence or he comes again, there are no breaks. There are no rests. We are in this battle with indwelling sin. And the Holy Spirit enables us. And the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses is the Word of God. Sanctify them through your truth. Your Word is truth, said the Lord Jesus Christ. And the testimony of Scripture itself, what Scripture says about itself, it likens itself to a hammer. The Word of God is like a hammer. It can break the stoniest, the hardest of hearts. It can convict of the deepest and foulest of sins. The Word of God is like a fire to consume the dross and the rubbish. The Word of God is like milk. A baby needs its mother's milk to grow. And the Word of God, the Word of truth, it is milk to cause us to grow. The Word of God is like honey. It's sweet. It brings great blessing. And so the prayer of our Saviour, as he was just hours before Calvary, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by thy truth. And it was rightly said to the Queen when she was crowned those 70 years ago, that the Bible, the Word of God, this book of truth, from Genesis to Revelation, thy word is truth, is the most valuable thing this world affords. And through the scriptures, the Holy Spirit does that work of sanctification in our hearts. And our great aim, our great desire should be Christ-likeness, to be more like Christ, our Saviour. That is why Christ came to save his people, that we might be holy. And we will be glorified. All those who are in Christ will be glorified. When we see him, we shall be like unto him. But now we are in the arena of a battle. And through the word of truth, and through the gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit, we are to fight that battle and desire Christ-likeness, that we may live to his glory. And what could be a greater testimony to this dying generation in which we live, other than Christ-like lives? Lives that show forth, lives that reflect the beauty of Christ. That will speak volumes to people. A life lived in a Christ-like way will speak far more to people than any words can. And we have this precious book, this book divine, and the prayer of Jesus was, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the words of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we have this record before us of what was upon his heart before he went to Calvary's cross. And he set himself apart. He sanctified himself to that great work of atoning for his people's sins. But his great prayer was that we might be sanctified through the truth. And Lord, we thank thee that although we live in this generation where truth has fallen in the streets, where men and women have imbibed the philosophy of the age and may even deny that there is such a thing as truth, we have this book which is truth, this book which is God-breathed, God who cannot lie. And Lord, we pray for that work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, that we might be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, that our lives as we live them in this fallen world might show forth, might reflect something of the beauty of Christ our Saviour, that we might live closer to him. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me day by day. And Lord, help us through thy Spirit to daily put to death the indwelling sin, that those lusts of the flesh that would draw us away from the one who is altogether lovely and holy and harmless. And so, Lord, help us. We stand in great need tonight. How we need thee, Lord, to help us day by day. Look upon us in mercy, we ask, in the Saviour's name. Amen.